Okay, this morning, let's turn to Romans 10, 8 to 18. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we were preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is the Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who are called upon him. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of the good things. Let's bow our head and pray. Heavenly Father, I just ask you this morning to speak to us through Jesus, the work of life, and speak into each one of our heart, and also, you know, guide us throughout these morning devotions. Thank you, Lord. We love you and pray all this in Jesus' name. So this morning is another passage that we did in Japan as a morning devotion. And it's another passage that really touched me during that time. It's a very kind of long passage. And in a way, when you look at it, it's kind of very logical. Look at, like, you know, Paul here is trying to put forward an argument to explain to Jew that you have a chance. God have given you a chance to hear the word. And actually, if you look at the later on the passage from 17 to 20, it's actually setting out the argument. And here is a very logical passage. But yet sometimes, you know, when God speaks, you know, even the most logical passage can carry, you know, a dynamite of message. And during that time, we were doing our morning devotion, and Kenny, you know, is a missionary sent by SP, was visiting him in Nagoya. And I was looking at him and looking at his passage, and something just, like, really touched my heart, is that he's our messenger. He is the messenger. He's a preacher sent by, you know, SP to be there for as a present there, and in a way it's a living out this passage. You know, someone is going out there to preach the message, and people will listen to it, and gradually the seed of truth will plant in the people, and people believe, and they will be given the chance to call upon the Lord, and salvation come on them. And so in this passage, I actually can identify two major, you know, characters. One is the preacher, and the second is the sender. So obviously, a lot of people look at, you know, preacher, thinking, oh, must be, you know, Pastor Sam, you know, and all the pastor that in the church. But here, it's more than just, you know, it's not that specific. You know, the message of God, the gospel, does not just reserve for the pastor. A lot of things that we heard, you know, about the churches in Japan being so small and the congregation is not mobilized, it's because that belief that only pastor can preach the message of God. Only pastor can do evangelism. So as a result, you will have a non-growing church because only one person or two persons, given the size of the church is so small, is doing the work to share the gospel. So here I just want to emphasize the preacher here is not specific, or it's not a specialized job like lawyers or doctor that you need a theological degree to preach the word of God. Because from the day that we believe in God, when we call upon God, salvation come, we receive that message, we are the testimony, we are the witness for God, and we are in a position to share the gospel. So that is something that we should bear in mind. And very interestingly, we have a staff lunch, and we're talking to Annie and all this. Basically, you know, anyone who married to a Christian is a pastor wife, because everyone is a royal priesthood. So bear that in mind, you know, that we do have that identity blend in us. When we become a Christian, so we go into that royal priesthood, that we are there to carry the message. We have that status to bring people to God. And you know, the second point is about the character of sender. You see, the preacher here doesn't go, you know, anyone can go on their own accord and share about a passage, like share about message of God, yes. But at the same time, he has identified a hierarchy of authority. For people to go overseas or go, you know, being sent, like, you know, last week I shared a message, like we are called to go to the end of earth to preach. One thing that, you know, really touched me when I look at Kenny and look at this passage is that he's not there alone. Someone sent there, and who are the sender? That is SP sending him. And he doesn't go to the foreign land alone. He is carrying together with the whole church is going to with him. Although physically we are not present, we are physically not there with him every day, but yet our prayer, our support, and the authority and the blessing that we bless upon him is actually with him the whole time. And so, and we sort of pray over him and tell him, you know, you're not alone. We actually, SP is going forward together with you. And it's talking about a preacher having that authority. So for someone to go, you know, overseas missionary or pastor, we always ask them, we come out and bless them. In a way, is not just bless them for the ministry, it's also giving them the authority, sending them out. It's this hierarchy, the structure that is being set up in the Bible here. And so at the same time, you know, we pray for Kenny and all this, but at the same time, something really struck me is that, hey, in this ministry, in that ministry in Japan for Kenny, SP does play a part, and we have a calling to be the sending church. Then the question is, have we lived up to that calling, being a sending church? And a couple things to look at. What does it mean being by a sending church? And as I, you know, doing some research and looking in, in things that being in place, I would like you to, you know, this passage is written by Paul. So I'm thinking, okay, then I go back to the Bible and see how Paul was first sent on his mission trip. So if you can turn to the Bible with me together to Book of Acts 13, 1 to 4. So basically these four verses talk about, you know, how Paul was being sent by the church, the church of Antioch, during that time he was attending. He was a prophet and he was a teacher there. And so let me read through that four verses for you. Now there were at Antioch, in the church that was there, prophet and the teachers, Barnabas, Simon, and who was called Niger, and Lucas of Cyrene, and Manier, who had brought up with the Herod the Tetrarch, and so. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for work to which I have called them." Then when they have fasted and prayed and laid their hand on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by Holy Spirit, they went down to Cilicia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. We see here is a time for a church to send some people out. Obviously, who are the sender? Here we identify two main. Is the person must be sent by God. The person must be called by God to go out to the place, to the foreign land, to preach the gospel. And more than just preaching the gospel, because remember, the commission, the Great Commission, is make disciple of nations. So that calling has actually come from God. So in verse 4, very clearly, that person is being sent out by the Holy Spirit. And in other passage, in the Old Testament, you will see God is calling Isaiah, you know, who can I send? So obviously, the one major number one sender is God. But having said that, you know, people have a calling from God, but then, or maybe they have a calling from God, they didn't hear it. So here we, from this little, like, you know, all these four verses, we can see that at the very beginning, people fasting and praying. A fasting and praying church listened to God, and God downloaded a message to them. And obviously here, the message from God is, set aside Barnabas and Paul, because they are the one I call them to go off the foreign land. And so we can see that, you know, being a sending church, we always keep ourselves embraced and connect with God, with fasting and prayer. And the second thing is like talking about setting apart. Here, very interestingly, talking about the church, you talk about prophet and teacher. The sense that I have here is that we just don't send anyone say, okay, I felt like called by God, and can you send me next day? It doesn't work that way, because obviously a person needs to be equipped to equip themselves so that when they preach the message with other people, they know what they are preaching, and they need to have that solid faith. And we can see that God have along the path raised Saul and Barnabas up to be the teacher, to be the prophet, to prophet that down were able to connect with God and carry God's message. And so in a way that I'm seeing that, you know, SP, to live up that calling as a sending church, we also have to be actively discerning who God wants to call them. And at the same time, providing, you know, support and training for them to go off. And even before they're sending off, if you look at the later on the passage, then when they fast and pray and lay their hand and send them away. So throughout the process, prayer is very important. Knowing who you are, knowing who we are as SP, knowing that person, identify the person, have a calling, working together with them in this journey, as we did, like, you know, with Grace and Leanne, they was being sent off. Along the path, we try to walk with them together and identify the area of calling. And as they plan out, walking together with them. And finally, laying the hand on them is a blessing, and sending them the authority. Here, a lot of time we see in the Bible, we're talking about laying hand and have different functions sometimes, impartation of gift. But here, obviously, it's not talking about impartation of gift. It's more on giving the authority, bless the person, so the person carry the whole church together with them to the mission field. And if we can, you know, look at, you know, in this passage, we can basically identify a few functions. And if I may, I actually look at, you know, some of the missions, you know, commentary, and also, you know, books talk about mission. A lot of time, if you're looking at the home turf, there's four different, five categories. Obviously, the person who go, we call it goer. And the person who send is like, we call it sender. But there's also this function called mobilizations. It's like seeing that, you know, we identify there is a need, or sometimes, you know, depends on how God speaks. Sometimes God speaks to us as, you know, okay, I have a heart for the nation, a particular people group that I want your church to pray for. And in a way that the mobilizing is like, we have the message of God and we have to mobilize the whole church going together. And that's the, or even mobilize the person, inspire the person. So the mobilizing is like a mentoring. Like a person may have a calling, or they try to find their path, and the mobilizing is like helping them along the path, like equipping them and moving, you know, heart of the people or congregation going together. And the other, obviously, the major function, the passage talk about intercessor. You know, anyone doing any ministry without prayer is bound to fail in a way, because it's very clear, you know, whatever building you build on, that without God is in vain. And you go to do whatever ministry on your own strength, it's not going to work, because at the end of the day, this is God's ministry. And intercessor throughout the passage, you know, is so important that every single step that prayer is needed. And sometime God will speak to, you know, our church. Obviously, every day we pray for a nation. And these are the nations that God have given SP. And we're talking about, it's not just, you know, early morning prayer, people praying. It's talking about a whole church. And as a result, I really, let's pray that there will be more mobilizer in SP. And let me just backtrack a little bit on the sender. Obviously, we lay our hand and bless, and they go off. Is that all we do? What do we do after they go on to mission field? A lot of time, people tell stories, sad story coming back, you know, missionary get burnt out, or get depressed, not because of the ministry, not because of this. Japan is, for example, Japan is really hard land to crack. Yes, it's very hard land to crack, but a lot of time, a lot of casualties like that missionaries come back wounded is because that they were there on their own. and they didn't get along with the team, or you know, whatever, that you know, that unity is not happening in that team. And one of the major thing that will cause, you know, missionary to spiral down is that loneliness, going there by themselves. Because when they in the church, they, you know, here they is that one of the member they're receiving the whole time. But when they go on the mission field, they're on their own. They don't have that community supporting them physically. And so as a sender, we can, you know, connect with them. With the, you know, electronic age, we can Skype with them, we can pray for them and write to them, let them know that they are not alone. And that's why when I was looking at this passage and I was looking at Kenny, my heart is like, I have to tell Kenny that, you know, you are not there alone. We are with you. Because a lot of time when you're on your own, you just felt like you are just yourself. Remember back in the days, like, you know, in the Old Testament, when Elijah was doing all this great thing, and then when Jezebel tried to, you know, make a decree to kill him, the first thing he tell God is like, I'm the only one who doing the work. But the reality, God had reserved 6,000 or 7,000 other people who have not bowed down to the idols. So obviously, the person is not alone. But when they're on the mission field, they leave their familiar environment, the church, they feel they are alone. So as a church coming alongside, we can follow up with him. I know that, you know, some churches actually have a prayer group, a group or person, because, you know, the pastor probably have a lot of work to do too with the church and all this stuff. And if we all heavy laden just on a pastor and the congregation is not moving, then it's not a living church. It's in a way that the church has to come alongside. So I know that, you know, some churches actually form a group by the member to do to do mission care. In a way, it's like sometimes they send gift or see what's the need of the missionary and try to support them alongside. And so they will get regular update from the missionary and pray for them. And, you know, in timely manner, actually, you know, like if they share something that difficulty they meet, they will follow up with what the challenges and give comfort. So, you know, a lot of time that I'm thinking that, you know, our church, we always say, oh, our church is a body of Christ. And so if I, sorry, I backtrack a little bit. That's another category in the sending church is called Welcomer. Thinking about Hong Kong, we always mention, you know, SP is a mission church, and we being an English-speaking church already, in a way, Hong Kong is already our mission field, in a way, because we are different language and culturally, we are different from the more traditional Chinese people. So in a way, as we step out from our church, that is already our mission field. And that's another character in the church is called Welcomer. It's for people from different ethnic group, for people from different nationality, that you actually take a step to move to evangelize, to take care of them. A lot of you probably been to overseas. I was, you know, in Australia for a long period of time. When I went over, I actually as a student in the high school. And a lot of time that I see some overseas student, they will, that they are host family or they're Christian, that we reach out to those family. And I know that for a fact that, you know, for mission strategy for China is that they, when Chinese people come out from China, they have more freedom to explore to Christianity. So a lot of Christian organizations overseas, like US or Korea, they actually focus on overseas students. They will go and, you know, for the first day, greet them, take care of them, and bring them, show them God's love and bring them to Christ. And as a result, many people, say Chinese, actually got converted overseas. And in a way, it's like a generator, because people coming from overseas, they study and they expose to Christianity, they believe in God and God work in them. And with that passion, one, they can either go back to their own country and they continue to share the gospel. And I think like Faith Bay Ministry also doing that too. It's like The baby sister here converted, believing in Christ, and also carried that message back to Indonesia, to the Muslim, or, you know, to the Indonesia. And in a way, it's like this is the ground. SP can be a ground to welcome people from different, you know, nationality. And for them, during that period of time, I especially see this is the, in a way, it's a calling for SP, because SP really strike me as very transient. Every time when I was, you know, leave Hong Kong for a while, come back, all these new faces. So showing that, you know, this is a special characters that SP has. People stationed here, and they explore to, you know, that teaching that they may not have heard before, or God really bring in new factors in their life to disciple them and equip them. And they go off back to their own country, or they go to other places, and they carry that extra dynamite that you can impart to them. So as a welcomer, definitely see that SP have that part in it. So, you know, look at these five different categories, and there will be sender, that is mobilizer, moving people, inspiring people, mentoring people, moving to, you know, different area of missions. And then welcomer, people coming in, and the intercessor and the sender being supporting the missionary already being sent out. And if I look at them, and, you know, Paul always talk about, you know, we are different body part, and we are one body, and we have to work together. And so I quickly, you know, identify, you know, goa obviously is the leg, the go off to the mission field. Sender, really the heart and hands. They have the heart for the missions, they have a heart for the missionary, and they use it like, you know, extending, stretching out their hands to support the missionary. And a mobilizer, motivator or mobilizer, is the eyes. They see the vision of God, they see the future, and they speak it out and move people. And welcomer is the arms that coming, and all this joining hand, like, you know, welcoming people coming in. Intercessor, I would say, is the backbone. Every single little part, every function that we talk about, they need prayer, and they need that insight from God, telling them which specific area they should focus their prayer into. And all this is one big body of Christ. And what I'm saying is that this is not just the job of a pastor, someone preaching the message, or, you know, teacher that, like, teach, you know, we have some time, like, Bible study and all this. It's not just their job to do that. It's everyone in the church, because we are called the body of Christ. Before I go off, just one more thing I want to mention. I actually, this message really touched me, and I was sharing this message with my mentor on Monday. And I was like, we're tearing up about, you know, being a sending church and that calling. And she reminded me one thing, you know, a lot of time we are very functional. We can think of multiple ways to help a missionary. For example, we can set up support system, we have give them medical, like help them to work out the medical and all this. But all this is just a hardware. Yes, you can set up a nice system, but if the heart of the people doesn't change, meaning the congregation, the heart doesn't change, the behavior won't properly flow out, the behavior that outflow from the core value, from the belief, won't happen, because all this is just a system. And so I think today, this morning, if we can, is let's first go before God and start praying that our, the value, the core value, that when we progress that, to know God, to be like Him and to make Him known, that really build in us so much that we embrace that value, that we are, so it doesn't have to be just system or things to do, but naturally it will flow from us, naturally that we will care for missions, naturally we'll care for the missionary that on the mission field, instead of feel like an obligation, okay, Monday is China, Tuesday Cambodia, that's sort of like a routine, but really when we pray, it's from our heart. So this morning, if we can put our heads together and just start praying for the church, not just SP, for the church worldwide, to really ask God to come in and transform, come in and stir and change any value that is not in sync with what He told us. And just really condition everyone in the congregations, condition the heart of the congregations. As we are singing, you know, God, we surrender everything to you. Take us in. Father, at this moment, I just ask you to speak to my brother and sister here. Tell them who they are. Yes, they are the children of God, but also, you know, we share about the message this morning about being a sender, being a mobilizer, being a welcomer, intercessor, or even be the one who go to the mission field. God, I just ask that you speak to my brother and sister individually now, or at your own time, God, which role they are in this body of Christ, which role they are playing, so that, you know, SP can really truly live out that calling to be that mission church, to be that sending church. Let's spend a little moment, you know, to meditate and just really listen to God. Is there a specific role that God wants you to play in these big commissions, in the great commissions? And Lord, I ask that you give them courage to take that bold step if they have not already taken it. Let's also turn to today's prayer focus. Today, Friday, every Friday, we pray for the local ministry, the local churches. The Chinese churches actually is planning in the local central and western district churches. We are actually planning to do an outreach before the Mid-Autumn Festival in September, handing out mooncake to the people in this area. So there's a lot of organization and also, you know, communications and all this. So let's also pray for that. Pray for this event. And also SP is also joining another outreach on the 27th August. So let's pray for these two outreach and the different local churches that's doing work for God during this season of time, and also the different various organizations that being put down here. For Master Beauty, they actually moved into Yunong, Sai Kung new places, and the renovation being underway, and they still need a lot of financial and, you know, also physical work, labor work to help them as well to settle in the new place for ministry. And they're also looking for someone that interested learning English in around the area too. So definitely let's pray for the ministry that God had given them, and really pray that they are touching the lives of people in Yunnan is one of the poorest area in Hong Kong as well. Sorry, it was Toon Moon. Sorry, it's not you, not Toon Moon. Continue to lift up our SP ministry, the worship team, welcoming team, the men and women ministry, and also the local outreach that I just mentioned. For the SP week, the Cambodian team is still in Cambodia, so let us continue to pray for the Cambodian team, for the ministry, and also for a safe journey coming back next week. And also this weekend we have Noah's Ark and Sunday Service, and Pastor Sam Song is coming back, just came back last night. So really ask God to refresh him, and so that a fresh man can be poured down from God through him this Sunday service. And also yeah, let's lift up the Noah's Ark as well, the children ministry. For SP115, let's continue to pray for the renovations underway, all the logistics of the planning, the people, the steering committee. Let's continue pressing for SP115. Father God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for being with us for this. A new day with you is always refreshing, Lord. And I just ask that, Lord, that you continue to be with my brothers and sisters here as they go about their daily work. Father, continue to speak to them. I just pray they have ears that hear clearly from you. You are the Word of God. You are the life. And every time when we confess about you, people hear. Father, I just pray for my brother and sister to be that effective messenger, carry this message that you have given to them in their office, in their family, and as they live out, and people will come to you, and they will learn that when they call, they will be safe. Father, I also thankful that you once again reminded, even for us who have been Christian for a long time, that when we call upon you, we will also be safe in a very different situation. So I just thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for walking with us every day, Lord. And we love you, Lord. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.